All right. Thank you, Tiffany and Hector. That's if it was not for grace. I tell you what, if you'll understand grace, you'll understand everything else will fall in line in the Word of God. You'll get over things like whether or not, if you really get saved, you can lose it or not, if you'll understand grace. Amen? I'm going to read a couple of prophetical texts this morning. I do not have time to read them in great length. And generally on Sunday morning, I don't try to bite off too much, but I may have this morning, so you pray for me. Talk to you this morning on the final regime change. And I think you'll see where I'm going. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, I'm going to shorten it a little bit, only 18 verses, but I want to read three verses, then I'm going to skip down to verse 12 and read to the end. Revelation chapter 17, you ought to find that, last book in the Bible, amen? All right, open up, it'll be worth it to look at it, amen? Revelation 17, 1 through 3, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine, been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. That's the beast, seven heads, ten horns. Drop over with me to verse 12, Revelation 17. And the ten horns which thou sawest, ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, which the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I want you to go to a parallel passage now in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. There's many people that believe the book of Revelation is somewhat a continuation of the book of Daniel. Because at the end of Daniel, you find Daniel didn't understand all God had told him. By the way, a lot of the prophecy writers in the Bible, the prophets didn't always understand everything God had them write. And Daniel complained that he didn't understand, and God told him, said, just seal the book and wait till the time of the end. Many believe the book of Revelation is the revealing of what God sealed up from Daniel at the end of Daniel chapter 12. But I want you to go to Daniel chapter 2 with me now. Daniel chapter 2, and I'm going to pick up just a few verses, and it's really covering very much the same subject that we just read out of Revelation chapter 17. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 2, pick it up with me in verse 42. Now, we had 10 horns on the beast we were talking about in Revelation 17. Here in verse 42, it says, as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves. Now, this statement I want you to get. I'll get back to it, I hope, later in the message. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, we're in a day and time where we understand the meaning of the word regime change. It means leadership of a nation, government of a nation, being changed. It's in the news quite a bit. Mostly it involves what we've seen in the news with the Middle East, and of course Egypt has two or three of them of late. And it was a sad thing when our Washington administration helped put in the Arab Brotherhood in Egypt. And even the military in Egypt had to rise up later and dispel them and take over. So the regime change had to keep on happening and be turned around again. What's going on in Syria in your news right now is what I'm talking about. If some of you heard the exciting debate the other night, that was discussed. And we're at odds right now. We're trying to get Assad to leave and turn over the government, and Russia's on his side, and we're against him, and all of that. By the way, inside news, some of you know where I'm coming from when I say the debt profiles. Some of that news is saying something that was a little encouraging to me. See, the president has been trying to arm the rebels over there. Donald Trump is right when he says we don't even know who the rebels are. And yet we're sending our tax money over there to arm them. But in the debt profiles, we discovered that even Ash Carter, the Secretary of the Army, and one of the chief of staff of the generals are not really obeying the president. They're saying it's stupid, and so they're kind of holding back. So you ought to pray for them a little bit. The chairman of the U.S. Chief of Staffs, they're not precisely carrying out the plans, and the plans are pretty dumb, but that's not my point this morning. I'm saying they're trying to overthrow a government, a regime, and look how it worked out in Libya. Look how it worked out in some other places, but we're seeing that. That's common stuff in the news today, and so there's some turnover going on among the nations, but the question is, what's it building up to? And how is it going to end? Well, the only place you're going to find the real answer is in the Bible. God's Word is going to tell you. What we're presently seeing today in America, some of these changes that's taking place is so obvious. Decency has been abandoned. I can't hardly believe it. I saw where the Target stores were spending $20 million to remodel their restrooms so all the transgenders would feel comfortable going in. Now that blows a country boy's mind like mine. I just really, really have a hard time with this lack of culture, what they call a culture today. Never thought I'd see these changes. Just back up 8 years. Do you know when President Obama got in office, he was against gay marriage? But then he said he started evolving. Remember? Started evolving. Now look what we've got. We've got gay marriage legalized to the place they're replacing judges that don't believe in it. We've got transgenders going into the little girls' restrooms. I didn't believe in evolution until I saw that. I still don't, of course, but that's the wrong kind of stupid evolution. The changes that we're seeing is part of a global plan to put in the Antichrist regime. Now, I know I'm sounding a lot last week, but most of you need it again. I'm just saying I personally don't fit in. I don't think I ever will fit in down here. I don't fit in. In my day, things were either right or wrong. Yeah, is it black or white? It wasn't tattletale gray in the middle. It was this is right and this is wrong. And I went to school, and the schools believed in right and wrong. They had penalties for wrong and good for doing right. And I was raised in a family that way. When I got my first job out in the workplace, I found out there was a right way and a wrong way. And it was just, that's the way we were raised back then. And now the very foundations seem to be shaken. When I was, the way I was raised, lying was looked down upon. Yeah. A fellow that told a few lies got him a reputation, a bad one, in a hurry. Now it's considered a skill who can lie the biggest. It's a gotcha game that they're playing today, as you see that in the news, and all the wrong being accepted. That's the hard part that I can't get a hold of. In the early days of America, law was equal. I mean, law for everybody, nobody above it. Today, we want to ask the question, what's happened to our FBI? I mean, with all the tapes coming out, with all the dirt that's being shown, without all the crookedness and all the money, and where's our FBI? I hope they'll get a backbone back. I really do. Our Constitution was our laws in America. I'm talking about a regime that's trying to be changed by the wrong crowd, changing America. Ginsburg of the Supreme Court, the dear lady with one foot in the grave but still doing harm, she was over speaking to some foreigners, and she said this. She said, they were talking about their new government, their new change, and she said, don't do anything like get a constitution like America. It's in the way. We can't be progressive. Constitution's holding us back. Well, thank God it is. Constitution used to tell us what was right and wrong and where our rights were and all that. Now we look around and we see that the thing has changed so much, and what we're heading to is we're heading to some awful times if they win. Sharia law of Islam is just a good example. There's a Christian writer, I'm trying to remember if I halfway say his name right. It's Nahid Hatter. He's a pretty well-known Christian writer in the Middle East and Jordan. Jordan's supposed to be, you know, more liberal. They're supposed to be more of the friendly Muslim country. Jordan, across from the Dead Sea over there from Israel. And in Jordan, he's a journalist. He's a writer, and he's a cartoonist. And he wrote a cartoon against ISIS, and the Jordanian government arrested him. See, there's a charge over there, and it's coming to America fast. That charge is, if you insult the prophet, it's a crime. And over there, it's punishable by death. Insult the prophet? We're talking about Muhammad. Be careful what you say about Muhammad. You see, I'm saying some things right now that I'm not supposed to be saying about Muhammad. Let me go ahead and finish it up. He's a pedophile. Serving a false god, the moon god. If I had time, I could rip on it some more. But this writer didn't do that. He was just trying to point out that the heaven that ISIS was trying to use as a reward to recruit suicide bombers was a false thing. And so he was arrested for it, but he didn't get his day in court. On the way up to the court, they assassinated him. That's what I'm talking about will come here. We're getting close. We already got the hate crimes on the book. You've heard me say before, if you're gonna kill somebody, tell them you love them first. Because if they can charge you with a hate crime, they'll get you twice, amen? All right. Anyway, we're seeing government now sanctioning evil. Isaiah 5 said the day had come they'd call evil good and good evil. And folks, we're there. This last year, the fellow that got on film, the abortion murderers selling baby parts, illegal, wrong, had them on film, bargaining baby parts. Some of you saw it on TV. Guess who got arrested? The fellow that made the pictures. He's heading for big court right now. He got arrested. That's a little hypocritical. Everywhere you go today, the camera's on you. At the red light, at Walmart. And all of a sudden, he's charged with a big crime because he put on camera they're trying to sell the baby parts. But he's the one got arrested. That's distortion. That's terrible. That's something different. I wasn't raised by that. That's wrong. That's not right. And it's too bad. And if we look around and we see that sort of thing. But I'm saying to you, what we're presently seeing is the world trying to put their regime in power over the whole world. The text here, both the two places I read, is telling us the final stage of one world government. The ruler, well, ultimately he'll be the Antichrist. There's a lot of speculation today about who's the next ruler going to be here and there. Some are wondering who's going to take charge of the UN because the UN is meddling in everybody's business, including America's. And pretty soon it's not going to be what our laws say, it's going to be what the UN says. That we've got to go by. That's too bad. There's a lot of theories about the ruler business. I'm not preaching theories. I'm telling you what some folks are saying. Some folks are saying, well, maybe President Obama will be head of UN. I don't know. Some others are saying if Hillary keeps getting in enough trouble, President Obama will have to have her arrested and stay in office himself. You've heard that one, haven't you? Now, I can't give you scripture on that, and I'm not saying it's so. I'm saying there's a whole lot of speculation and a whole lot of theory being kicked around because the times are unusual, and you can't figure what in the world is going to happen next. We're dealing in this final stage of trying to undo the American government, which is the linchpin to hold all the rest of the governments together. And if we fall, folks, the whole world kingdom of the Antichrist is going to come together so fast that you won't believe it. Now, I read here in Revelation 17, the woman riding on the beast. Now, she's not the woman that some of you are thinking. The one you're thinking about is not quite qualified. Maybe close, but not quite. But the woman here in Revelation 17 is riding on the beast of government, and she's called a religious harlot. Religious harlot. Now, she's riding on the beast, and the beast then is described as 10 kings. All the government is going to be under these 10 kings. If you went back with me to Daniel chapter 2, where I asked you to take note a while ago, go back to Daniel chapter 2 with me, and I'm going to pick up again here on this verse 43 in chapter 2 of Daniel. It says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with mire clay, they," speaking about these 10 kings now, these kings that we find in Revelation that make up the beast, they're the 10 horns on the beast that the woman is riding on. So you got the continuation here, you got the same truth, and it's dealing with the governments and the leaders of the governments. So it says in verse 43, "Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay," that was speaking of the feet of the image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about that portrayed all the world kingdoms, and now down in the end in the feet, and the 10 toes, and here he says, "They shall mingle." Now, here, watch your English language in your King James Bible. It says, "They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men." Do you understand this "they" here did not come from the seed of men, but they're going to mix with the seed of men? It sounds like some supernatural doings. And one of the theories y'all are hearing around now is even that the aliens are messing with this particular election we're having. I know I hear all that stuff. Anyway, there's coming a time we could call this group aliens. They're going to be supernatural. They're going to be on the devil's side. They're going to make up the 10 horns on the beast that the woman rides on as this world government is being put together. And probably has to do, if you want to trace it all the way back, I won't go there now, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6 when the fallen angels wanted to mess with the seed of men. And here it says, "They shall mingle themselves," mix in, "with the seed of men." But they're not the seed of men. "But they shall not cleave," they don't stick one to another, "even as iron is not mixed with clay." Two foreign elements. So whoever this group is that mixes with the seed of men, they don't mix, they don't stick, they don't cleave. And here we're looking at supernatural on the wrong side intervention trying to set up the Antichrist kingdom. You see something else about it. This harlot that sits upon the beast is a religious harlot. Religious. Big religion has always been part of Satan's deception. Always has. You check your history. In chapter 5 of the book of Jeremiah, It's talking about a time in Israel when God condemns them. And it says, and I'll read it to you. It says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed to the land. God was condemning Israel over this. And here's what he said. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. Now, what's the next statement? And my people love to have it so. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Here's what I'm coming to, folks. We are in a time of religion where God says it's wrong, but the people love to have it so. That is sad. That is sad. He says the priest rules by their means. It's a deceptive thing. They're hearing falsehoods, but they love to hear it. You ever have anybody say to you, boy, you're good looking, you're beautiful, you know they're lying, but you love to hear it? We're all human. Well, what we've got today is we've got false religion putting out propaganda, and we love to have it so. We're going to have the religious harlot on the beast of government and the whole deception plan coming together. That's what we're looking at. That's what I'm talking about. The kings, though, if you go back to Revelation 17 with me, you'll find out something happens in Revelation 17, though. I read it to you, but let's pick it up in verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. I remember trying to ride the old mule when I was a kid, and I thought he was trying to turn around and eat me. He was nibbling at my toe. Little boy, I was afraid. Well, this particular beast, the woman's riding, is going to turn and devour. Who is the woman? She's religion. Big religion has ridden on the top of the kings of this world down through history. Check it out. Some of the kings rebelled, and some of them haven't, and still that same big religion claims to ride over the governments of the world today. As it were, the kings still today. And in this time, and if you want to get a setting in it, I believe it'll be after the saved are caught out. I believe it'll be in the Jewish tribulation period that this thing will finally materialize, which could happen if the trumpet sound today. It could happen very quick. But that religious harlot governing, bossing. See, if you're riding on a beast, you generally got the bridle. But the beast here, the kings, the 10 kings are going to turn on her. They're going to get tired of being ridden. And you're going to find a time that this one world religion is turned on by the one world government to some degree. She's devoured. Now, if you go back through history, it's not hard to identify the woman. I can't say a whole lot without rocking the boat too much, but I will say this. Big religion is into deceiving the governments of the world and has been for a long, long time. There's been a few times in history the kings, so to speak, rebelled. You ever hear of that clean, living, wonderful man called King Henry VIII? Now, I'm being facetious. What did he have? 7 or 8 wives. He killed most of them because they wouldn't give him a boy baby. Remember him? King Henry? No, you don't remember him. But he lived, and of all the bad he done something good. He ran the Catholic Church out of England. And he took, as it were, the religious harlot off their back of government. This is what really happened. And so today you got the Church of England, Episcopalian Church in America, as claiming to be the English church. And with all the bad and good that you might mention on any of them, I want you just to understand the picture right here in Revelation 17 is the same picture I'm talking to you has happened in history, but it'll reach its final fulfillment. It'll reach its final fulfillment in the future not very far ahead of us. Now, it's going to be a regime change, leadership change, government change. And that's what we're reading about prophetically here. Now, the final regime change is the greatest one. Look in Daniel chapter 2 again in verse 44. I read it to you, but look at it. Chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, back when they're ruling and think they've got it all made, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand how long? Forever. It'll be the last one. It'll be the final one. It'll be the regime change I'm looking forward to when Jesus Christ sits on the throne and lets the world know who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Oh, that's the final regime change. It's coming. He's the rock. You read over there in Daniel, he's the rock cut out of the mountain without hands. And he smites that image of world government on its 10 toes, and he brings the whole thing down and sets his own kingdom up forever. Forever. That'll be the change that I'm looking forward to. Today, you think about it. The one that's coming back to set up his kingdom is the one they spit on. The one they mocked and crowned with thorns and martyred his people down through the centuries. They're the ones that made his name a stigma and a cuss word. That's the one that's coming back. Yeah, he's the one they taught about in the higher education rooms. He's the one that they've outlawed in so many places, including our schools. He's coming back as King of Kings, though, and Lord of Lords. And he's going to set his kingdom up, and it'll be the final kingdom, and it'll last forever. Oh, yes, the Antichrist is going to have a fling for a little bit. His kingdom's going to come together. We're watching it come together, but it's going to be very temporary till the real king shows up. The real regime change takes place. You know, it was that change that the angel spoke to Mary about in the Christmas story. When Gabriel showed up, he told Mary the government will be on his shoulders. Right? And of his kingdom, there'll be no end. That's the one. That's the one. Now, I want to say to you right now, you can have a kingdom change in your heart, a regime change inside of you. That's what happened to me one day. So what does that mean, preacher? It means I let a new leader take charge of my life, a new ruler sat on my throne, a new one that gave me life compared to what I had, and one day, eternal life in his presence. I want to say to you today, that's what you need. You need to look to the one that loved you and died for you on the cross of Calvary, paid for your sins. He wants to be your Savior now, and he is your coming Lord and King one day, but you need him as Savior today. He'll come into your heart and set you free from those drugs. He can come in your heart and set you free from the alcohol and the fornication and all the bad stuff that's got you chained. He can break those chains. He come to set the captives free, the scripture says. And he'll set you free this morning. This world is just jockeying around. We can't hardly understand the evil that's going on, being enthroned. The Antichrist has a plan. He's putting it together to rule the whole world. But Jesus has defeated him, and he's going to come back and set up his kingdom. In the meantime, the kingdom of God in our hearts can be very real. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my coming King. And he's the only one I owe any allegiance to today, because he's the one paid for my sins on the cross of Calvary. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that? Can you say, preacher, I'm going to turn the steering wheel of my heart over to him. I'm going to let him make the change from the inside out. I'm going to let him be my ruler. Would you do that this morning? Would you leave that seat, come down the aisle and say, I'm trusting Jesus Christ. This world is falling apart, and he is the only answer. Do you know him today? I pray you do. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, I want to ask you this question. Do you know him as Lord and Savior? Do you know him as the one that paid for your sins, that you're trusting to get you to heaven? Nothing else can do it. Nothing else you trust can get you there but him. Say, preacher, I know him. He's my Savior. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can you say that by the uplifted hand? All over the building, thank you so many. You put them down. Are you here and you'd say, preacher, I know I need to be saved. I need to take Jesus. I haven't done it, but I know I need to. But pray for me when you pray, preacher. I need to be saved. Would you slip that hand up? Up and down. Heads are bowed. I'm looking. God's looking. You care that much for your soul to raise your hand for prayer? I'm not going to call your name if I knew it. I'm not coming to you. But I will have you in mind when I pray. Would you slip that hand up? Father, we commit the time of invitation to you. Lord, I covered a lot of territory this morning, but it shows a lot of light on what's going on in our crazy world today. Father, we see there's a battle between the kingdoms, and Lord, there's going to be 10 kings that's going to be united together, but it won't be in your power. It'll be in the devil's. And I thank you, Father, they're not going to win. Their kingdom's not going to last. You're going to come back. You're going to set up a kingdom that will never end. I thank you right now, Father. I know that kingdom lives in my heart because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I pray, Father, that if there's one in the building today that's never trusted him, they'll do it this morning. I pray, Father, for the one that needs to rededicate a life or move a membership or whatever else you've asked them to do, but especially for that one that needs to trust Christ this morning. May you bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. I'll step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet?